Hello, this is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation in South Central Washington State. And today we've been going through the book of Matthew, but today I'm going to do something a bit different. And I always encourage anybody that wants to call in and ask questions. Doesn't mean that I can answer them, but I will try. What we're going to be speaking on is it's going to be a little bit different in that usually I'm continue speaking and going through teaching or just examples and everything, but today this is a little bit different in that we'll be going to several different scriptures, and so there will be necessarily a little bit of a pause while I go from one scripture to another, but this is on prayer that makes things happen. And we often think about meditation and perhaps prayer and supplication and intercession and all different types of forms that man uses to God. Lots of people pray to a God that they do not know, and then there's many that also pray to the God that they do know. And so this is today, this is centered around prayer that makes things happen. A part of this I got from outline years ago, and I think the I'm not positive, but I think the one that put it in this outline form was a man by the name of Casey Treat back maybe 15 years ago or so. I'm not sure how long ago, but I ran across this, and it is definitely good. He happens to be, as of now, I think, has the, haven't been to it yet, have been to their former church building. I know that he pastors two churches in the Seattle area, one south of Seattle and then one up in Everett that's north of Seattle. And, it's just a good thing that while we are studying the scriptures as a whole, that we also find out just, especially we want things applicable to our own lives. And, well, how do we get these things that are in the scripture into our life? And some of this is just pretty basic. So, what is especially important is that if you have a Bible, that you get it, especially a paper and pencil, so you can perhaps, if you want to, just I encourage you to perhaps write down the some scripture references so you can go back and study it on your own. And because when somebody, at least for myself, I think all of us learn over a period of time. It's just like all the advertising people. They know that it takes at least 17 to 21 times of an advertisement before it really sticks in our mind enough so that we might, even if we're interested, might be motivated enough to go and even try their product. So if I just happen to read a scripture, that doesn't, it may not stick with us. That's why I'm encourage you to write these scriptures down so that if this is meaningful to you and the Holy Spirit speaks to you about it, is that it doesn't escape. You see, I remember a story of Jesus. I think it's what is called the chief of all the parables, all the stories he told, was the parable of the sower. And he said that the sower went out to sow. Now, what did he sow? It was seed. But the seed wasn't different. is he says the seed was the word of God, and it was sown. He gives an example of four different areas. Now, it wasn't the word of God that was different, or it wasn't the seed that was different. It was where it was sown. So he made a comparison of that it was sown four places. The first was on the byway or where people walked. And so, of course, that would be hard dirt, probably not pretty much any water or anything. And it says that that seed, immediately the birds would come down and pick it up and go off with it. And he likened that when he explained it to his disciples. He said, that's like the devil that, or Satan, that he comes and to steal away the word that so that it doesn't profit us anything. So, and that's what we want. Don't you want profit in your life? I want profit in my life. I want something to be blessed and not just die away. So, you see, we want to retain those good and precious things, and that's why I've learned this, especially perhaps the hard way. So many times I just listened to something and I wouldn't remember it, or I couldn't go back to it. Maybe I'd take a few notes, but especially if ever there's scripture, that's something that you could write down and just. You're not writing down perhaps the entire verse, but you're just writing down where it can be found. And that way, you might put a few words beside it, and that way you can go back to it if you want to study it anymore. That way, you see, that becomes that word that it's not just stolen immediately because you just heard it, and all of a sudden as Jesus said, the devil comes and takes the word away, so it doesn't profit anything. He mentions three other types of ground, two other unprofitable ones. One is the stony ground, where it gets in and between the stones, and it springs up quickly. It germinates quickly and springs up, but it says that the heat of the day scorched it, because it didn't have any root that was down deep, because it was rocky there, there wasn't enough soil, that it soon withered. And he likened that to the Word of God, as far as somebody receiving the Word of God, and that they receive it with joy and rejoicing, and they're really happy about it. However, when persecution comes or testing comes, all of a sudden, they start to wither. That wasn't because of the word; it was because the it didn't grow deep. It was a different type of soil. It didn't have room for the roots to go down deep to get more moisture and to have more nutrients. Then it mentions Jesus mentioned another type of soil, and that was, of course, it was seemingly probably good soil. However, there was a whole bunch of weeds that grew up around it and choked it out. So when it was trying to grow, there's all this other stuff around it that was growing up with it, and it was choking it. So it wasn't getting all the nutrients that were needed, because the nutrients were being stolen a lot by everything else around it. In other words, what Jesus likened this to was the cares of the world, that often we don't receive something, or we receive it, but it just becomes unprofitable. In other words, it doesn't bear fruit, and we don't want to see that happen in us. But we can see it. I'm sure all of us see that happen in us, because we sit down, perhaps meditate, and think on what those things are truly important in life and really good in life, and yet the cares of this world. It's so easy to, if you don't have a faith that is based in God, that we can trust in Him, then we are trusting in ourselves. If we're trusting in ourselves, we're fretting and we're getting into a place of stress, because there's just not enough of us. to handle all our situations. Now, you may think so at the beginning of your life. As you grow on, you begin to realize that lots of things are just a bit beyond us. And God wants us to be a good ground. And sometimes we just have too much wheat around us, and it just chokes us out. And we don't receive enough nutrients that we truly become fruitful. But yet, if those weeds are taken out, if the rocks are gotten out of there, that the seed of the Word of God can go deep in us, we can become fruitful. He says some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And so, in other words, that you have to remember 75% didn't profit anything. Some profited some. In other words, maybe if you could consider it, whether it's 30 times or 30% of what you're doing is profiting, or 60% of what you're doing is profiting, or 100%, or what is the return? Is it multiplied many times? Is it coming back in abundance because it was planted where it was good? Well, you see, the Word of God doesn't determine it. It's what sort of soil. Now, we are the soil that the Word of God comes to. And so we have a little bit to say, definitely, about that. We can choose to have our truly hard heart and because of circumstances. You know, there's lots of things that we've gone through that just we become hard because it's sort of like a defense system. It goes up because of all the pain. And to receive the goodness of God, we've got to put ourselves out there and to loosen up a little bit and not harden ourselves off so much. We have to really pray to God and ask Him to send His Holy Spirit to pour oil on us. Well, what does oil do to something that's real hard? Do you think of leather or various things, maybe your shoes or something, or anything that comes hard? Oil soaks in, and it revives things, and it makes things more, instead of brittle, makes things more elastic, because it brings life back into things. The Holy Spirit can do that for you and for me. And so we looked from the Scripture, and we see that Jesus Christ is the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And so we come to God, we come to Jesus Christ, and ask for Him to, if we have a hard heart, and I've certainly had that in past in my life at certain places where some very bad things happened, and hurt a great deal, as far as it felt like being, your guts getting torn out from you. I mean, some things in life are really hard, and it's easy because of those things to purposely, in our own defense, trying to harden ourselves purposely so there isn't so much pain. But we can't stay that way, or else that brings death. We need to put ourselves out and ask for God's healing power to come in. I know with scars, they've often said that, like, to scar so that they don't, if you've got a cut and a scar, that to put on, like, vitamin E. Well, vitamin E usually comes in an oil form, and it's you put that on the scar when it's fresher, it's healed over, but yet it's still fairly recent, and that as you put it on, it'll lessen the remaining scar, or even take the scar away. So what is that? That's another form of oil with the vitamin E in there to bring, restore things, to make things whole. Well, we want to get into the Word of God today. We want to see how to be fruitful. We want to be blessed. we want to have abundant things in our life. Well, if meditation on the Word of God and prayer isn't in our life, then how can we expect to be truly fruitful? We can be fruitful perhaps just in the things of the earth, but the Bible talks about those going to heaven, that there's things that that even people that have a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus Christ, that some people come and their works are burned up, and some their works will follow them. Well, what's the difference between these two? Well, the works that we might do, if it's that we are slaving or doing things in and of ourselves because we think it's the right thing to do, so we are working to do something good, those things are wood, hay, and stubble, and those things aren't going to follow us because they are not initiated by God in us. Things that we are led by the Holy Spirit to do are initiated by God, and he makes the analogy of this being a house or things in our life that are made out of precious metals or out of diamonds and rubies and sapphires, these sort of things. In other words, these things will go through the fire, but the wood, hay, and stubble, of course, won't go through the fire. So some things can follow us or even precede us. Now, what is eternal? You start looking at everything in your life. You look at your car or your home or anything else. Now, is that eternal? Of course not. You just don't see a funeral procession with a funeral car with the casket in it pulling a U-Haul trailer because you're taking it with you. No, you can't do it. You can't take it with you. It's what's eternal. Okay, we know that people are eternal. So, is it should we abandon all material things? No, because we are in a material world, but the material things we have should be used to glorify God, be used to bless people, to meet their physical needs and also their spiritual needs. So people are drawn closer to God, that they come to know God, they come to know Jesus Christ, and through him we have salvation. You see, that is eternal things. See, the material things need to be used for eternal purposes. Now, part of the material things we use on ourselves to keep us going. We just the homes we live in, the vehicles we drive, perhaps especially various vitamins or health things, so that we look at our health situation, that we don't want to cut short our days. We have been given so many days to live on this earth, but we don't want to shorten them. The Bible says that anybody that wants to save their life will lose it, but those who lose it for Christ's sake, save it. So how do these two things work together? Are they contradictory? Not really. We see that if we are looking to God as our source, then we're going to obey him, whatever he says. If we're not hearing, we hear from God in certain areas but not in other areas, he says, tells us to plan our way, but he will direct our steps. So he encourages to use our mind, to use the mind that he has given us, but then very much so looking towards what he says in the Word of God, and then building our relationship with him, and then seeking Jesus to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, so that we can also hear the Holy Spirit, that we not be ruled only by our natural mind, but never give that up, still having the natural mind, but then being ruled by the Holy Spirit, which will govern the natural mind, and sometimes they will come in conflict with each other. So we need to have a heart after God. a desire for him and his kingdom to be established on earth. That's what Jesus taught us to pray for your kingdom, O Lord, God Almighty. We want your kingdom to come. We want it to come in us. We want it to come on this entire earth and this universe. And we want your will to be done here just as it is in heaven. We know in heaven everything's under your control, but we also want it done here as well. And you have even told us to pray this way. So that's what we pray. We want to apply your word to our lives. So today, we want to apply your word in this way also. It says, prayer that makes things happen. Okay. As I said, there's going to be a little bit of interruptions sometimes back and forth as I go from one scripture to another, so I hope you bear with me. But we're going to start this week and go on it another week or so, probably 2 weeks this week and another. And so let's start. One thing is the prayer that makes things happen. Is it a part of our lifestyle? Or not, is it part of just a religious function, a church or something? Or is it part of our lifestyle? Let's look at, in the New Testament, we're going to be mostly in the New Testament, which is the last one-fourth of the Bible, if you have that handy. And if you have a piece of paper, I encourage you to grab that and write this down. Matthew, the symbol for Matthew, just M-T. The letters MT, and it's going to be Matthew 16, verse 19. So let's turn there and look what it has to say there. 16:19, it says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." My goodness, God is saying that. In other words, do we have some control over things that happen? Or at least a strong influence? I mean, God would not, if we think that God is in control of everything, that's a false worldview. He is not in control because the Bible clearly says that he controls the universe except for the earth. That says that he gave the dominion of the earth over to man. And so he says that he does nothing here on earth unless he tells a prophet first, and that prophet basically then speaks that word, and it releases him to move in this earth. But otherwise, this is under the dominion of man, this part of the universe, because he gave it to man. So we see here that the keys of the kingdom, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. So he's speaking to who is he speaking to? He's speaking right there to Peter, but all the disciples. But later we see it's not just the apostles that he was talking to, because we see in another book of John that it's all that believe on this word that it is applying to. So that's for me, and it's for you also if you believe on the word of God. If you believe on the word of God, then this is exactly for you as well. Now, always, in every program, want to give at least one opportunity for each of us to become in relationship with our Creator. And so I just ask you to say this after me. You know, there's two great types of people that are listening to me right now. Those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. And my only question is, which one are you? And if you can't say that you're saved, then I just ask you to repeat this. And even if you are saved, I ask you to repeat this. Very simple. But if you say it, you see, from your heart, it makes it a huge difference, because the Bible says that faith and salvation and faith and other things, it always involves two things, at least two to three things. One thing is believing and one is saying and doing, or doing. And so I just ask you to repeat this after me. That's right. Go ahead. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. That's right. Where's Jesus right now? If you ask him into your heart, and if you ask him in because you actually want him in your heart, then he will come in, and he has come in. If you asked him with your heart's desire. And then what was it after that? Make me the kind of person you want me to be. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. It says that the Holy Spirit is sent to us to change us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. That's right. We're supposed to be that reflection of him, and not only reflection, but substance of him. So we're not just a picture of him, but actually his life lives through us so that we're more than an image of him, but that the power of God also lives through us. And that relates right back to this scripture here. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We see things in the physical realm, but there's a spiritual realm standing behind it. And those things that are established in the spiritual realm will take place and will change the physical realm. Now, things are, sometimes they change immediately. Sometimes it's over years and over dedication. Sometimes it's a matter of being like a pit bull that you grab hold and you don't let loose. Or like an alligator or crocodile, pit bulls, they all have this ability to clamp down with their jaws and you can't pry it open because it's sort of their jaws all lock. And that's what we need to do with the Word of God, is to lock onto the Word of God. And you see, sometimes there is a testing time that sometimes we receive immediately. Sometimes there might be weeks or months or even years of testing that we have to see. God is looking for people that are faithful over a period of time of believing, holding to a promise of God, and trusting in him to fulfill it. Sometimes we often try to fulfill things ourselves, and we usually make messes out of them, don't we? Because we need to have the will to do things, but we need his anointing. That's another thing. We really need to desire more than we can accomplish in and of ourselves. We need to desire something that it will take God plus the help of other people to accomplish, the power of God to come and bring people alongside, to bring those things into fruition. So we see here, as far as there's a matter of binding and loosing. So this is binding powers, loosing powers on the earth. Remember that Jesus cast out many devils out of people, and when they were cast out, many of them were healed. Now, most of the people that he healed didn't have devils, but some of them did. And that was the reason for their blindness or sickness or being deaf or mute or epilepsy. That doesn't mean that all those problems are caused by devils by any means, because most of them aren't. But sometimes they are. And once that the devil is cast out, they are set free, and therefore they are the sickness, then they can be healed and restored whole. This is also, there's powers in this world. It talks about powers and principalities of darkness and rulers of wickedness in high places. So we need to have a relationship with God, and then not just a relationship with him, have him as Lord and Savior, but then We need to look into this matter of prayer that makes things happen. So much of us, including myself, just go through life and aren't engaged that much. It's hard to be engaged sometimes, to put ourselves out, to lay our lives on the line for other people, to get involved and then pray through and bind any forces of the enemy that is hampering the situation, whatever it may be. And so much of things can be changed. So we continue on here, and we want to look now to something else. We've read this, and it says also here that, just want to read this, that Jesus was telling his disciples they had to be in prayer regularly to handle daily problems. So this is, some people don't have that much stress in their lives. There's not that much going on. However, if you're trying to accomplish anything for the kingdom of God or even outside the kingdom of God, there's resistance because you're trying to change things. So there's resistance. And Jesus, as I was saying, was telling his disciples they had to be in prayer regularly to handle daily problems. Many of us try to get a miracle when trouble shows up, but nothing happens. Well, we're not prepared. I remember one time of I knew about a trouble, somebody that was demon possessed, epilepsy, would have a high fever every day of up to 100, and one day even up to 105 and 106 a couple times, and yet because they were a young child, it did not kill them, but it continued every day for 5 years, every day for 5 years, and so I knew that according to the Word of God, I needed to spend time in prayer and fasting ahead of time. And that's what I did. Prayer and fasting, praying a lot in what's called the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit in perhaps a language that we know not, or various languages, several languages we don't know. And the reason for is to build ourselves up that when we meet the problem, that we have total power over it. Well, that's what happened. Now, that was just a day or two that I did that. That's not a lifestyle. That's what we need in our lifestyle, not to be consumed with that we aren't able to get anything done, but that it needs to be there so that we're ready. So the next day, in a day's time, when the situation arose, then went to the place, the person was delivered, and they told me 2 years later that I had run across them. They let me know that their child, from that time on, never again had a high fever, never again had the daily episodes of epilepsy, never again had the two to more times a week from the day of his birth for 5 years, had to be come into the emergency ward of the hospital. Well, that was because she happened to be involved with her friend was a witch, and the child happened to be demon possessed from the womb, and so the boy was set free, and never again had any of the problems. So, you see, it's something like this you can't handle. You can't handle in and of yourself, because there is another world that's right by this world, that's in this world that we can't see it with our natural eyes. That's why he's saying that we have to have prayer on a daily basis so that we can meet the daily problems in our lives and have enough prayer also that for those extraordinary circumstances that we call out and God answers, because he knows us. Because we've been talking to him on a regular basis. If we're talking to him on a regular basis, if we're trusting him in him on a regular basis, then when we're in need, he shows up. If we have a casual relationship with our Creator, then he's going to be casual with us, and he may not show up when we need him. So he's encouraging us telling his disciples that they need to pray regularly on a daily basis. Many of us try to get a miracle when trouble shows up, but nothing happens. Prayer must be a daily lifestyle. Spending time with God is spiritual exercise. Now, we've been so consumed and partially, rightfully true, about finally getting out and exercising because many of us may have stressful jobs, and exercise is good for relieving stress and helps our health. It's not only just health for the body overall, but especially relieving stress, too. And so we need to have that exercise. But he's saying here that we need to be spending time with God is spiritual exercise. And we can't be in shape exercising once a week. What does that refer to? That means if you go to church once a week or just read the Bible once a week. No, or pray once a week. No, this needs to be a timely thing. In other words, it needs to be part of our life, like breathing, eating, drinking. We breathe, eat, drink when we need to be praying, too. And it needs to be more than just a casual thing. That needs to be an important part of our life that our life might have, instead of just have lack, have power in there. Now, because of the lack of consistent prayer, many of us fall into temptations, tests, and trials. Let's go to another scripture, Matthew, and that's abbreviation is just MT, period, and it's chapter 26. Let me turn there for myself and find that. Matthew 26, and it's verses 36 through 41. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay, it says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, let's look at a few things there. We see really important things here. Of course, this was right, he already knew he was going to be crucified, but he's praying to his Father, if there be any other way. Now, he's a man, but he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you see, he didn't do any miracles until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God came upon him at the time he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, that John the Baptist saw the Spirit come out of heaven, that Jesus saw other people, that it came as like a dove upon him and remained upon him. And John the Baptist testified, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, talking about Jesus. Two of his own disciples heard that, and then and when Jesus came by another day, when John the Baptist said that, behold, the Lamb of God, those disciples of John left him and went and became disciples of Jesus. So here he's praying to God, but he's telling his disciples. He had 70 people around him that went out and did miracles, and This is before he died and resurrected, that they were raising the dead, they were casting out devils, they were performing miracles of healing. Then he had the 12, and then he had this inner three. Now, what's happening with these inner three? Whenever it talks about a watching with me, this is another word that is like a prayer watch. It's a time set aside, a period of time of prayer. And so it has with it, sometimes as a watch to be on guard for a city. This is your watch. It's or that there's four watches during the night, 3-hour periods to be on guard. Well, this is their watch that they are to be on guard as far as they are supposed to be, enter into prayer. And he's telling them, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? So this is a time, a watch of prayer, time of prayer to God. He's saying to them, a commandment to them. He says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So, be aware and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we know that the Holy Spirit within us, that if you've asked God to come into your life, and Jesus is your Lord, that the Holy Spirit has come into you. Now, that doesn't mean that you or I are filled with the Holy Spirit. There's certain times that we are. We may be filled if we are hungering and thirsting after Him, and His power comes upon us that we can do miracles. And that's His purpose. The miracles and that stuff weren't meant for just the apostles by any means. No, the whole purpose of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, according to the Word of God, is to equip the saints, equip everybody that believes that they might do the work of the ministry. In other words, it's us that, not the pastor in the pulpit. I'm not a pastor in the pulpit. I guess I am in one respect, in that I spend several times a month, maybe 10 to 12, 13, 14 times in jail to go down there and speak to just a few. It doesn't matter whether there's just a couple or the whole room is packed. And most of the time it's about half packed to whatever, and maybe more than half. And it takes volunteers, and these are sometimes major felons. Sometimes it's the ones with having sexual addiction. I usually don't go to the ones that, only once a month do I go to the ones that have misdemeanors or minor felonies. There's plenty of people that go to them, but not that many that go to the real harder core people. And so, I've seen many that life comes into that become changed, and they even end up in our church. It's an amazing thing. And that then you get these reformed people, and you end up having them do the collection. And you can, in the church, when people bring forth their tithes unto God, we naturally keep a watch on them, but you're given responsibility that you give high expectations to people. You keep a watch on them, that they're doing it correctly and that they're not trying to do anything on the slide. And then you have other responsible people as far as taking care of that, as far as the final stages. But it's good to where we've failed, that we come back and have victory in those areas. I see this, that there's so many people that have just radically turned their lives around, and that are new people that are making legitimate businesses, and that are putting their lives on the line for other people, and volunteering considerably to just bless other people and causing other people to recover from addictions. That's what the power of God does, comes into one, and they are so happy and rejoice that they've been set free from addictions that they want everybody else set free because they've been trapped in it so long. And the life of God comes in them, and they have to tell people. That's what gospel is. It's not just good news. It's good news that has to be told. And so that's what's happened to them. And so I'm sorry to get off this subject here, but it's a matter of this is what the gospel is. It's good news that's got to be told because it changes people's lives. It changes people from, of course, most of the people down there they respond, but remember there's four kinds of ground. And there's ones that the devil takes it immediately away. There's ones that spring up quickly but then die away because of persecution or what their peers think or something else. That somebody's the man is more important to them than God. Then there's ones that are choked out by the cares of this world, riches and other things. That you see, riches aren't bad. It's how we use them. It's a matter of whether riches have us or whether we have riches. Which is it in your life? Which is it in my life? Do the things we have possess us? Or do we possess them? Are those things that we have under our control, or are they controlling us? If they're controlling us, if they have possession of us, if they are tying up too much of our lifetime that we don't have any time for God or for people, that we need time for both. And if that isn't center, then the possessions are too much. They are causing too much hassle in your life. And you need to find a way to free up some of that stuff so that it doesn't possess you. We want life. And we want life, as Jesus said. He wants us to have life and life more abundantly. That's because he loves you. Not because he wants to take anything away from you. He wants to bless you and make you fruitful. Now, when you become fruitful, all of a sudden this life comes through you. And you become like the Sea of Galilee with rivers flowing in and rivers flowing out. But most people are at the opposite end. They're like the Dead Sea, that the life comes in, but they're not flowing out with life. And everything dies there. Well, don't be like that. Give out. Jesus was saying in these verses and things that our lifestyle needs to have time that we are spending time for prayer, that it's in our lifestyle. The Word of God is in our lifestyle. That we have spiritual exercise just like we have physical exercise. So that finishes that verse. You can't get prayed up at the last minute. What you do once in a while produces very little results. I never pray. This is this is a quote from a great man. This is a person that his name is Smith Wigglesworth, and there's reports that he raised over 30 from the dead, but there's documented proof with medical doctors and everything that he raised 16 people from the dead early in this last century. And he died, I think, in the 1940s. And his quote is, "I never pray more than a half an hour, but I never go 1 half hour without praying." In other words, in his waking hours, all the time he's awake, he's always within praying. He never lets more than a half or even a half hour go by without praying. Well, why in the world did he have so much power? Well, that's pretty evident. The reason why he had so much power that people were raised from the dead, 100,000 people being healed of, or tens of thousands. We know that, like John G. Lake, there was over 100,000 people that were healed from cancers and other things like that. And for Smith Wigglesworth, there was that. Now, John G. Lake was up in Spokane, Washington, the state of Washington. Smith Wigglesworth was mainly in much of Europe. And miraculous things occurred. Now, we want to go to this next verse. It's 1 Thessalonians. So you might look 1 Thessalonians, if you want to write that down, it would be put the number like a capital Roman numeral 1, and then abbreviation for Thessalonians, you could just put THES would be abbreviation for Thessalonians, and the scripture is 5, chapter 5, verse 17. And there it says, in fact, I'm going to read the verse before it, because this has been a very important verse in my life, is verse 16. It's a commandment to us. This is a commandment to us here. It says, verse 16, is rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit and do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. My goodness, there's a number of commandments there that are all good. It's like rejoice evermore, starting out with rejoice evermore. What a commandment. I mean, in bad times and good. You know, the Holy Spirit begins to get in you more and more, that when you hit your hammer, your finger with a hammer, that instead of swearing words, that you say hallelujah, praise God, even though you're crying out in pain. What's happened? The Bible says that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if swear words are coming out, then it sounds like I remember the time that other things might come out of my mouth. But it's a matter of good things coming out of our mouth when bad things happen. And it can't come out naturally of ourselves. It's a matter that the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, the Creator that loves you, that He's in your life, and that He's doing something there, and He's living inside you, and it's changing you. And that's how it changes. So he didn't say rejoice always when things are going good. Rejoice always when things are going bad. It's rejoicing in God. It's not for the circumstances, because of the circumstance. It's rejoice in spite of sometimes. Sometimes it's in for the circumstance, if it's good. But it's just rejoicing always. Now, there is a reason for that. In the Old Testament, it says that God will inhabit the praises of His people. That means He'll enthrone Himself in your life. His power will come into your life if you praise Him and give Him glory. Well, if we're rejoicing always, that automatically causes the power of God to show up, especially if you have the knowledge of God, if you love Him, and you've asked Him to be into your life and directing your life. Then it says, pray without ceasing. So, does this mean, oh, I can't go to sleep, I can't do any work, I can't do anything but pray all the time? No, this is a matter of this a lifestyle of pray without ceasing, that your life becomes a prayer. So it's from a prayer from your heart to in your speaking. Well, what is your speaking? Well, is praying, oh, dear Father, Heavenly Father, and going on like that. Or is praying as far as just rejoicing in the day. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for that person. They don't know you there. They are full of hate and wrath, and I just ask you to bless them. They have done some terrible things to me, but I ask you to forgive them, and I just forgive them, and I ask you to bless them. That's prayer without ceasing. It just becomes a part of our life. Now, I'm not there. I certainly haven't arrived there, but it's a part of my life. It's a small part, but he's saying that we are supposed to do it without ceasing. It's supposed to be more of a part of our life. It's supposed to be more of a part of my life. And I know that as this happens, that there will be more joy and rejoicing. It's the matter of this rejoice always, it's a commandment. This is in spite of what's going on around us. But because we know in whom we have believed, in the God, our Creator, in Jesus Christ, His Son, and that He loved us with an everlasting love, and He has sent us the Holy Spirit to any that call upon His name, and that He can also fill us with the Holy Spirit. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what the will of God for you is? It says, in everything give thanks. If you give thanks in everything, you already are doing one of the major things that we are supposed to do on this earth. And it said, give thanks in everything, not because of everything. You notice that? There's a difference, a big, 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 big difference. You don't praise God because things are going terrible. No, you're praising God for who He is. He loves us, not because we do good or bad. The only good we can truly do is if He is in us, doing it through us. You see, He doesn't love us because of anything we do. He loves us because He loves us. He's telling us now to rejoice always. He's telling us to give thanks always. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. That is the will of God. That's part of the will of God. Part of the will of God is to pray without ceasing. It's a radical new life. You can't do it. You can think right now. You logically think. You can't do it. You are right. You are absolutely right. 100% right. You can't do it. No. It's only as Jesus becomes Lord of your life that the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you ask Jesus to fill you to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, that the same Spirit that was in John the Baptist and in him that empowered him to do the miracles. You see, He did not do the miracles because He was God. He came here, subjected Himself as a man, and that way that's the only way He could become our Savior, that He has subjected Himself as a man. He also did the miracles here as a man. He couldn't do that as a man by Himself. It had to be by the Holy Spirit, because that's how the miracles were performed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It was the power of the Holy Spirit coming alongside and causing the miracles to be performed for the glory of God Almighty. It's for the glory of Jesus Christ. And when God is lifted up, so are we. When when He is exalted, we are lifted up because we are part of Him. We are part of the body of Christ. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, it's when He is glorified, it blesses us because we are part of His body. He is the head, we are the body. And we are supposed to work together in unity, not division-wise, but in unity. We've come to the end of our time, and I just wish that you the very best week, and we will get into this prayer more as far as how prayer changes things and how you can have that change in your own life. And we want the Word of God to radically change each one of us, that the power of our Creator might be seen in us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. May God resurrect everything in your life that is good, and those things that are not. We ask that the power of God just make a cleansing of that, that your love might increase, and the power of God, your Creator in your life, may increase. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye. Hope to hear and see from you this next week. This is Dr. Don Callan coming to you from Yakima, Washington. Bye.